Later that afternoon, he called Hobson into his office and, closing the door, he said he wanted to tell her what had happened. For the next hour and a half, he sat there telling her not only about the charges, but about the whole story of his childhood, his family, and his adult life. It was all new to Hobson. And in retrospect, she thought he may have been rehearsing for what he planned to say by way of answering Nichols' letter of charges. He had decided that the items of so-called derogatory information cannot be fairly understood except in the context of my life and my work. Over the next few weeks, Robert worked feverishly to prepare a defense. The AEC had given him a 30-day deadline to reply to the charges. First, he had to assemble a legal team. So early in January 1954, he consulted with Herb Marks and Joe Volpe. Marks strongly believed that his friend needed to be represented by a distinguished, politically connected lawyer. Volpe disagreed and urged Oppenheimer to get a skilled trial lawyer. For a time, it was thought they might get John Lord O'Brien, a highly regarded but elderly New York attorney. O'Brien had to bow out for reasons of health. Another prominent trial lawyer, 80-year-old John W. Davis, said he would be willing to take the case if the AEC would agree to hold the hearing in New York City. Strauss made sure this did not happen. Eventually, Oppenheimer and Marks went to see Lloyd K. Garrison, a senior partner in the New York law firm of Paul, Weiss, Rifkind, Wharton, and Garrison. Oppie had met Garrison the previous spring when the lawyer had become a trustee at the Institute for Advanced Study, and he liked his genteel manners. Garrison's lineage was as distinguished as his own reputation. One of his great-grandfathers was the abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison, and his grandfather had served as the literary editor of The Nation. Garrison himself was a firm liberal and a board member of the American Civil Liberties Union.